Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason has brought his former second-in-command from Decatur to join him in Bloomington, but Gleason tells GLT's Eric Stock he was surprised Billy Tyus applied for the city's new deputy city manager post.
The fact that he was the number two in Decatur and had been filling the interim city manager position in my vacancy, I knew that he had notified the city that he was not interested in being their next city manager. It's because I knew he wanted to move on. He has a couple of younger kids that are grade school age, and it was a perfect time for his family.
You recently restructured this position from an assistant city manager post, which oversaw certain departments, to this new format, which is more of a chief of staff. Do you feel that that made the position more attractive? You had about 30 applicants nationwide. Did that sort of sweeten the pot, so to speak, for those who might have been interested in this job?
Well, I can't speak for Billy. I know, you know, that I felt that being a true number two in an organization. I mean, we're an organization that has an all funds budget of $220 million. It's a larger community, including the town of Normal and the universities. It is a great opportunity for somebody out there. And even when we conducted the search, we attracted people coast to coast, you know, and there was a lot of interest. A lot of people met the qualifications, and then you have the preferred qualifications, and there was a fair amount that met that. I created an interview team that was made up of Fire Chief Brian Moore, Public Works Director Jim Karch, HR Director Nicole Albertson, and Finance Director Scott Rathbun. And we interviewed five candidates, and Billy truly emerged as the clear front runner to offer a job to.
From your time working with him in Decatur for those 3 years, are there particular projects or initiatives or passions of his that stand out to you that you see him bringing to Bloomington?
He has a very strong background in economic development and also community revitalization was there and very active in the downtown revitalization in Decatur. And it's a number of those things that I think are going to fit very well here. And then in the deputy city manager position that he stepped into in Decatur, he became, you know, he had a broader knowledge and working understanding of the entire organization.
Now, Mr. Tyus is African-American, and he joins a city administration that is fairly light in terms of its diversity, particularly in leadership positions. Was that a factor in this decision, and is that a concern that there is not much diversity in city administration?
I've heard I've heard that, but I will say that the selection of Billy, it was entirely on what he brought to the table. Color of his skin, you know, was not consideration. He is a great candidate that could have been a number one most anywhere in the United States.
Is there a concern that there are not many minorities in positions of leadership in the city, or is that just something that you take case by case?
I think it's case by case. I've heard that stepping into this position. I left a position where my direct reports, I actually, the majority of my direct reports in Decatur were minority. And those, many of those were my selections. And again, the selections were based on I needed the best person out there, and that's what I got.
Billy Tyus comes in as essentially a chief of staff, as we have talked about. As you restructure this position, do you feel that, not that anyone is running you out, but do you feel that this prepares Billy Tyus or anyone who would have filled in that position to eventually become city manager? Would that make for a more seamless transition if that were to happen at some point down the road?
Totally, Eric. That's exactly, I feel, one of my greatest responsibilities as city manager is to make sure that there is seamless transitions in the director level positions, and then also in mine if I was to leave. And that's exactly what I did for the city of Decatur. I positioned them to reach out and appoint that deputy city manager, but it's not what Mr. Tyus wanted in the city of Decatur.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason. You've been on the job in Bloomington for nearly 6 months now after coming from Decatur. How do you feel it's going so far?
Very well. Really excited about some of the ground that we've covered already and where I think we're headed as a community.
Well, there's a lot for a top administrator to learn in an organization of nearly 700 employees working in dozens of different departments. You have to figure out what's working, what's not working, what could be done better, deciding what gets done first, what can wait, and then you have, of course, an elected body, 10 members who have to sign off on a lot of major business. So where are you in that process of putting your stamp on the city?
Well, I don't know that I approach it putting my stamp on it. I like to sit back and observe where I can, but a couple of things that I definitely had to hit the ground running quickly is the upcoming budget and the current budget that we're operating in. Get a very good handle on that. Get to know the elected officials, even though I also know that we're likely to have some new faces next spring or this coming spring, and then also getting to know my department directors.
So as you alluded to, potentially three or more new council members to join the city council starting in May. Since you are getting up to speed in your first year on the job, how much of a concern is that to have that much transition in such a short amount of time, or do you see that as a positive?
I think, you find the silver lining in anything. I think we've got a great opportunity here. I've met most of the candidates that have, thrown their hat in the ring to run. One thing that I will do after the election and they take their seats at the council is I'll do a newly elected orientation where, explain to them what their role is as an elected official, but also likely a Saturday morning type session where I introduce my department directors to all of them. Allow the directors to share a little bit about themselves and their departments, and then I'm thinking I wouldn't mind loading everybody up on a bus and showing some of the major city facilities that they should be aware of, and also visit some of the areas that we see opportunities and challenges throughout their community.
Certain places you have in mind?
Yeah, some of the development opportunities that we see, and then also some of the areas on the west side of the community are some of those where I think have been identified as challenges, but also believe that we have some opportunities there as well.
As you referenced the budget, and you're getting to work on that here soon, the city's finance director, Scott Rathbun, had recently reported to the council in December that the financials for nearly the end of 2018 had come out surprisingly strong, close to $1 million in tax revenue above expectations for the year. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think extremely conservative approach to the current fiscal year budget that we're in now. And nothing wrong with that. We also have seen an increase in some of the revenues. So what's your projections? And actually, my approach to the budget, and it's working very well with the finance director, Scott Rathbun, is obviously to be conservative. But if we've got historical data that we can show the past 3 to 5 years and we see these kinds of revenue trends or we see other kinds of trends, then that's going to be what our projection is for the FY20 budget.
And last year, the city made pretty considerable cuts in some services, particularly public works, an increase in fees to balance the last budget before your arrival here. Do you see that changing this year based on those tax revenue projections that ended up being very conservative and you ended up exceeding those?
I think our approach for FY20 is that things are shaping up very well, trying to accomplish, the different expense items that are necessary, not to kick the can down the road and end up compiling, becoming an even bigger problem if we don't address them sort of as we go. Revenues are going well enough for the community, which is a positive. I'll take that right now. And we're shaping up. It looks as if we're going to have about a $500,000 surplus in the FY20 budget that will come before council in March for approval.
Could some of that money be a return to the taxpayers?
I think what likely, yes, first off, is the answer to your question. But I think what likely will occur is there is a list of capital projects, that arguably need to be done. And that's not an ongoing number, but it is, in fact, $500,000 that could be, identified as a funding mechanism for some of these projects.
O'Neill Pool is certainly one of them.
That's a biggie, and that is what we're doing is we're limping through the 2019 season, doing the bare minimum repairs so that we can open that pool. A longer-term decision is going to have to be made, and that's something that council is going to have to address.
And as we continue with Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason, the city proposed last year doubling the gas tax from 4 to 8 cents, arguing that it would raise an additional $2.3 million for infrastructure. The council didn't want to do that. Is that something that you would entertain this year, or do the numbers make that not necessary?
Definitely. That's going to be on what I call my menu of options to the council to consider for new revenue streams. For every penny that we have that we bring in locomotive fuel tax, that equals about $575,000 in revenue, new revenue. But what I would also propose, when we're talking about new revenues and the possibilities to fund some of the capital projects, I also like the idea of tying that new revenue stream to a specific type of projects. And also not opposed to the idea that we actually put a sunset provision in any of these revenue streams. And really that's for the community to realize that this is not a new revenue stream that's going to get lost in the general fund and be foolishly spent by government. I'm very conscientious to that, no different than any other taxpayer in the community. So it's very important to me that when we're talking about any taxpayer dollars, but especially new revenue, that the community have a great understanding of what this money is going to be used for.
So do you have in mind where that money would go specifically?
Yeah, we definitely have possibilities. Investment into the downtown has been discussed in various different ways. The O'Neill Pool is a consideration. And some other stuff that's out there as well.
Well, until May, you have the same council that was in place last year. What will be the difference for them to come on board when last year they were leery during a tougher budget year?
I look forward to, we've had some of these discussions, but we're actually at the Committee of the Whole meeting that will be on Tuesday the 22nd, a day later because of Martin Luther King holiday. Will be the first public discussion where we're truly talking about the FY20 budget. So this is different than the finance director's monthly report. And then we'll take the council members into three-on-one meetings, not to violate the Open Meetings Act, and have some further discussion that I'm sure will either be presented in a special meeting or the Committee of the Whole meeting in February.
And a gas tax increase would be a part of that discussion then?
Yeah, it definitely is. And there's a couple of other areas, not necessarily that, that's the thing is I'm not proposing that we do any of this. I just feel that it's my responsibility to balance a budget, that we live within our means. But there has been this, public discussion about some of the capital projects that the city would like to do, needs to do. And in order to do those, we need to create new revenue streams. So with that discussion having occurred in the community, I feel that it's my responsibility to throw out those options, that menu of options on new revenue streams.
Well, and there's also talk of doing that at the state level. In fact, a measure could come forth as early as today as the new legislature gets back to work in Springfield, a gas tax for infrastructure. How much might that be of help to a community like Bloomington?
I have to see how that plays out. I know the interstate system is something that that money would likely be used for, and I've got local roads that state motor fuel tax doesn't touch.
And Governor-elect J.B. Pritzker has said that he's going to prioritize getting a new capital bill passed to repair the state's crumbling roads and bridges. One of his transition teams was formed to address that. And we spoke recently with Normal Mayor Chris Coos, and he said he's a little concerned that the team lacks much local representation, specifically for Central Illinois, to truly assess our infrastructure needs. Is that a concern that you share? And how might the Pritzker administration change how Bloomington could potentially benefit?
Well, I think the elected officials here at the municipal level, county level, and then our state representatives, we're going to have a constant voice in Springfield and make sure that we're heard with the new administration. And I'm cautiously optimistic, as I typically am. I think it's one where we have to show why this investment in our communities, Bloomington Normal, is a good return on investment and how it can grow the economic base statewide. And I think we've got a good story to tell, but we got to make sure that we're in Springfield consistently sending that message.
And as we continue with Tim Gleason, the Bloomington City Manager, the city will have an option to opt out of its contract with Venue Works in April, the firm that the city hired to run Grossinger Motors Arena 3 years ago. How is Venue Works doing, and is that option still on the table?
Yeah, definitely. It's still on the table. We think Venue Works is doing a good job. When Lynn Cannon is the manager for Venue Works, I think it would have been in August. I had about a month on, and she's presenting the financials for Venue Works. One thing that was said is that the city and the community should start accepting the fact that you're going to run at a $500,000 loss. After the meeting, I was interviewed, and I thought, wow, that's unacceptable to accept a $500,000 loss, and I didn't realize the full backstory. But then I had a couple of elected officials and even a couple of my department directors that said that was not what was discussed when Venue Works was being brought on. And this was prior to Lynn Cannon being, the manager. So this is not on Lynn at all. I think another thing, and it's just a position that city was put in, coming out of the previous management firm, we were sort of scrambling to, we found as a community, we were scrambling to find someone. So maybe the contract, while it was the right thing to do at the time, it's also a perfect time to review and make sure that it's meeting the needs of the community. Something that I have said is a possibility, and there is some interest out there from different entities of owning, the arena. And actually there being a purchase from the city. Not saying that that's a good idea or it's really gained too much traction, but really what I'm trying to share is that all options are on the table.
So you are satisfied with how they're doing so far, but potentially someone could come in and run it better, sounds like.
And that's a perfect way to say it, Eric, is, while we're satisfied, are there greater, better opportunities out there? And they might possibly be.
Is there desire in the council? We see it quite often when we report on the financial losses, since it was not initially presented to the public as a revenue drain. Is there appetite in the council to simply wash its hands of it, turn it over to a private company, and walk away?
Yeah, I think, that is a viable option. Even if the arena was sold for less than what the remaining debt is on that building, and our remaining debt, bond debt, is $22 million, and it pushes out to, 2033 or 2034, we can make the numbers work if we sold it for less than what that debt was. The thing that I think is unfortunate for the current elected officials is this decision that was made many years ago, prior to many of these council members, it's almost a stranglehold is how I would describe it on them when we're trying to consider new opportunities for the community, because everybody points to the arena. And it's, you know, it's just something that this current council has inherited, and we have to deal with it.
That was Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason with GLT's Eric Stock. Ames, Iowa-based Venue Works took over management of what was then known as U.S. Cellular Coliseum in April of 2016. The company reported a $665,000 operating loss in the last budget year, which ended last April.